I'm picking out this dress, trying on these shoes, 'cause I'll be single soon, I'll be single soon. I know he'll be a mess when I break the news, but I'll be single soon, I'll be single soon. I'm gonna take one.
This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello, hello. Happy Wednesday, my friends, Ottawa Now family. Welcome back aboard the show. That was a fun little ride this morning, wasn't it? A feisty little shot of snow to wake us up out of our stupor. It is April after all. Forget the tulips. We live in Ottawa. Pretty common. But it was just funny watching that wild swing from 16 yesterday to a chilly 4 degrees this afternoon and gusty. It's blustery out there. Tonight it dips down to -5, and then, hey, we're back up to beautiful 10 degrees and sunny tomorrow, and 15 degrees by Friday. The glorious sunshine returns as we kickstart the weekend. We are going to kickstart our show today, and we're going on a bit of a road trip, so buckle in. You're acting as my co-pilot today for the next 4 hours, and yes, we are talking driving, because that's the big story today, not just locally, but across the province. The province is upping the speed limit on a bunch of 400 series highways, and that includes a big stretch of the 416. You'll be able to drive 110 kilometers an hour on the 416 starting in the summer. Here's the Transport Minister, Prabhmeet Sarkaria, making that announcement earlier today.
All the highway sections we've selected were based on their ability to safely accommodate higher speeds. This is another common sense change our government is taking to make life more convenient for Ontario drivers.
So they're doing this on 10 stretches of highway, including the 401 and the 416. The entire 416 is going to be subject to this. And he said the government still expects that everybody has to obey the posted speed limits, drive safely, drive to the conditions, of course. But he believes that this is the right way to go because a lot of these stretches, the drivers are already going over 100 kilometers an hour.
In many of these stretches, you will see that there will be a combination of 100 and 110 kilometers. So through the evidence-based approach that we've taken to date on many of the stretches that we have introduced it, we've noted no change. This is the next step in that after 2 years of looking at that evidence and data-based approach as we move forward. So I would still caution and hope that any member that is driving, an individual that is driving on those.
I should add, they're not just doing it willy-nilly. 2 years ago, the government increased the speed limit on 6 sections of provincial highways down in southern Ontario and 2 in northern Ontario, and they did it as part of a 2-year trial. So they've looked at this, they've seen how it's gone so far, and now they're implementing it more widespread. Here's what I think about this. I'm on board. The speed limit is going to rise along the 416 from the 401. That's almost 70 kilometers. Selfishly, that's pretty nice for me coming back from Oakville when I'm making that road trip in the final stretch. Almost home. You can go just a little bit faster legally now. And I think it's common sense. I think that it works. Studies show us that people pay attention to their speed, and it's based on how comfortable they feel driving. So you can put up whatever speed limit you want. The reality is, when the road is not bendy and the conditions are good, it's a straight shot, people hit the gas. So if the road is straight as an arrow and you arbitrarily lower the speed, then you're actually increasing the difference in the speed between the drivers who follow the posted limit and then people driving at whatever speed they feel is comfortable. And we know that that's the problem. That's been proven to reduce overall safety. If you have a wide gap between people that are going slow, slow, slow as a tortoise and people that are jumping down the highway going 120, 130, that's a problem. I'm on board with this, but I know that some people are going to oppose the idea of driving faster because they're worried people will go beyond that posted limit. And they think that this kind of opens up the door or gives drivers permission to drive even faster. That if we raise the limit to 110, they'll go roaring down the highway at 130 or 140. Nevertheless, we're going to tackle this today on the show. The speed limit goes up in the summer. It will change on Friday, July the 12th. On most of those stretches of road, and then the rest of them will follow by the end of the year. I want to get your reaction to this today. Please write in, and we'll open the lines on it.
Hey, my question for you today is...
Only one question.
Quick question.
Question.
Question of the day on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Do you think the speed limits should go up on the highway? If you were calling the shots, if you were making the rules, if you could whisper into the ear of the transportation minister, what would you say? Brian Patterson is the president and CEO of the Ontario Safety League. He was on with my colleague Patricia earlier today on Ottawa at Work. And he said he thinks the changes are safe as long as drivers adapt to unfavorable conditions.
We all drive on some of these areas in the winter, and it's when conditions are ideal. The speed differential problem that occurs in some of these areas is the Lugan behind the wheel who says, well, I'm going through a snowstorm and I can barely see what's ahead of me and the road markers are moving, but I can still go this fast.
Every time that we tell people to drive to the conditions and we warn them that the visibility is bad on the 417 or the 416, inevitably I get messages on the text board. Don't you think we know how to drive? We live in Ottawa. It's a winter capital. And yet, people don't often drive to the conditions. Or the first snowfall of the year, they stop paying attention. Safety analyst Chris Lewis also weighed in on this. He was on with Bill Carroll on The Morning Rush. He says he didn't really notice any changes in the flow of traffic, at least not yet.
You know, normally if you drive a certain speed, people are driving right past you quick. But I kind of noticed it all still moved at the same rate.
And he said a lot of people support the increase in speeding and bringing the speed up on highways.
A lot of people know more about highway engineering, vehicle engineering, et cetera, than I do. But my biggest fear about it is that people don't drive according to conditions. So is this a ticket to go drive even faster when it's snowing out? And this is going to affect stopping distances and some things like that.
Brian Turner of driving.ca will join us coming up on the show, and we'll get his take on whether or not he thinks this is a good idea. I say do it. It's a populist move. I think most people are on board, but I know that we'll hear from those who do not agree. So text me and let me know. The other story that we're following today, Cyril Leader, the president of the Ottawa Senators, says LeBreton Flats remains the only site that the hockey team is seriously considering right now. He told the City Building Summit, which, by the way, was organized by the Ottawa Board of Trade, that a new arena will have a transformative impact on the city. However, he did say that nothing is definitive and that there are still shortcomings to the existing deals with the NCC. Bruce Garriock, who's a hockey columnist for Post Media, will stop by and he'll unpack this a little bit more. He'll tell us where the Ottawa Senators stand and what's happening. And then the other story we're tracking today is about home ownership. And I'll just tell you, I was not surprised by this whatsoever, because a lot of people that I know, a lot of people in my age group, close friends of mine, don't just work their main job. They work their main job and then they work their side hustle or their side gig, or they're part of the gig economy, or they're doing some sort of freelance work. So maybe they're not scheduled part-time anywhere in retail, or they're working a job every evening and weekend, but from time to time, once every month, once every 2 months, they'll pick up a little extra work to get by, to pay their mortgages, or to save up for a down payment. Despite dreams of home ownership, the reality is a lot of younger people right now are feeling shut out, but they're not throwing the towel in just yet. The 30th annual home ownership poll by RBC found that 60% of Ontario residents say that they would need a second job, a side hustle, to afford buying a home in the province. This was an online survey that was done between January the 25th and February the 23rd. We'll be joined by somebody from RBC to talk about that. 217 on the show.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to the show. A lot of people are already writing in. Here's a sample of what I'm getting right now. Here's Jared. Hey, Christy, as somebody who drives the 110 stretch of the 417 daily, when the speed limit was 100, people drive 120. Now that the speed limit is 110, people still drive 120. So the change, in my opinion, did not really cause more speeding. Todd in Braeside. Hey, Christy, they've raised the speed limit on the 417 between Highway 7 and Arnprior. Yes, I know, because in the summer I drive that when I go out to the Prior. Shout out to the Prior. Love going there every summer. And I've noticed that it's not really a problem in my travels. But Todd says I travel this route daily, and it looks like he's agreeing with me. He said it hasn't changed the driving habits, generally speaking. Colleen writes, hey, Christy, I have no issue with increasing the speed limit. However, those that just speed will always speed. I prefer to go the limit no matter what the weather is. I'm a big advocate of drive for the conditions. I slow down when it's rainy, when it's icy, when it's windy, when the snow is gusting and the visibility is poor. Slow the heck down. What are you trying to prove? That you're tough? Are you just an imbecile? And you're skating all over the highway? I hate driving around people like that in inclement weather, because it's not just you. You can't control what people are doing around you on the road. And I'm not a nervous driver in snow and ice. In fact, yeah, I'll admit it. When it's a nice day and you're driving on a straight shot, I tend to go sometimes above the speed limit. I'm not a speed demon per se, but I definitely have gone above the speed limit. Come and shackle me. Ottawa Police Service, they're coming for me now that they've heard me say this. You know, I don't think that I'm a bad driver, but I think most people go, especially when you get to the 416 and ultimately down to the 401, they go 10 to 15 to 20 over the speed limit. And generally, if you keep it under a buck 20, you don't get pulled over. Heck, by the time you get down to the 401, people are screaming down the highway, and you look like the slowpoke going 115, 120. They're going 130, 135. So you're really just keeping up with the speed of traffic. We'll get to that later on in the show. Again, that's our question of the day. The number to text, as always, is 580-580.
Hey, my question for you today is...
Only one question.
My question.
Question.
Question of the day on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Should we change the speed limit on the highway? Would you raise it? Would you bring it down? Would you keep it where it is? That's our question. Another story that we're getting to later on in the show. I'm looking forward to this one because we'll be joined by the Director of Education for the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board. It is launching an elementary program review to look at some of its programs. English with core French, middle French immersion, early French immersion, alternative, and Ottawa-Carleton virtual. And it's looking at all of those programs alongside its special education and English as a second language support and services. So they're doing this because they're trying to figure out exactly what the program is doing. Is the model still serving the students and the community? One possible scenario that could come out of this, and I say it's possible because nothing has been decided yet, could result in the axing of the early French immersion program in favor of a different model. And much has already been said about this. In fact, there was an op-ed that was written in the pages of the Ottawa Citizen a couple days ago. I'd encourage you to go read it. It's that the argument is that OCDSB shouldn't be axing early French immersion because they feel that this is doing a disservice to families. Go check it out. The writer is C.D. Côté. This was on April the 19th. And the writer feels that this is not the right model. This is not the right way to go. OCDSB has said that the driving force behind doing this is equity. But as you look through the report and as parents hear about the consultation and what's going on here, they're not very happy. So if you've got a child that is enrolled in this program or you were thinking of getting your kids into this program one day, I'd love to hear from you on the show. Pino Buffone, who's the director of education, will join us. He said on April the 2nd that almost 70% of families enroll their kids in the early French immersion program. And some of them are arguing that this potential change will be a major problem to local students because we're growing up in a bilingual city and Quebec's right there. And pretty much we're one big happy family. So they're arguing that if the kids don't grow up with that level of French, then we're setting them up for failure. Coming up to 2:27 on the show, current conditions outside right now, gorgeous, sunny, but cool. In fact, Environment Canada is telling me it's still only 4 degrees right now. And the high today is a sad little 5, just 5 degrees. We'll be right back.
My mind.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back. Ontario is permanently raising the speed limit on 10 sections of highway. That means starting this summer, you can drive faster on the 416. Though you're probably already driving 110. Now you can do it legally. Here's the clip, of the Transport Minister, Prabhmeet Sarkaria, who says that several intersections of highway, 401, 403, 406, 69, and the entire 416 will all have increased speed limits.
All the highway sections we've selected were based on their ability to safely accommodate higher speeds. This is another common sense change our government is taking to make life more convenient for Ontario drivers.
I'll welcome on our next guest, Brian Turner, who's a regular columnist at driving.ca. Hey, Brian, thanks so much for calling in.
You're very welcome, Christy.
What do you think about this change?
Well, a couple things come to mind. Number one, when you look about safety, the province tells us that these 400 series highways are designed to handle the speed. I have to take them at their word, although I haven't seen any new design on any of the stretches they're talking about in decades. So that's one question. We all know that speed differential tends to be one of the major contributing factors to collisions, not necessarily the raw speed. You can safely travel down the Autobahn at 150 kilometers an hour. You come up to somebody doing 80 kilometers an hour unexpectedly, that's when problems arise. And we've already got a built-in speed differential. We still have heavy trucks. All the commercial vehicles are still limited to 105 kilometers an hour, the majority of them by means of an electronic device that's attached to the vehicle. And that's why you sometimes see the two turtles heading down the highway, taking up both lanes, not being able to pass each other because neither one of them can go faster than 105.
The picture that you're painting for me here doesn't sound so great, but I'll point out there are already stretches of road where we've had a speed limit change. Like, for example, the 417 as you head closer to Arnprior. When I've driven in that area, I haven't seen any problems, Brian.
No, because the majority of the drivers that are on the highways now are used to those speeds over 100 kilometers an hour. And that's just because we're all accustomed to the fact that police services don't tend to bother us unless we're doing more than 20 kilometers an hour over a speed limit. And that's just a general statement, and I don't anyone call me back and say, well, I got a ticket for doing 119. That can happen if you're doing other things. So people are comfortable with it. However, there's a distinct group of the population that's not comfortable. And I would say to them, if you're not comfortable with traffic approaching you at 130 kilometers an hour or better, then you may want to rethink your route, because that's what we're going to be faced with. And the other big question is, in a time where fuel is running at $1.70, $1.80 a liter in some cases, the one thing that is guaranteed, the faster you go, the more fuel you burn.
So do you think people will go the new limit?
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah, so do I. I think if you give people the green light to go 110, they'll go 120.
That's absolutely
most people are already
right.
Going 120.
Exactly. And they'll be the people complaining the loudest at the gas pumps when they see price changes.
Okay. What about policing and keeping tabs on drivers so that, in fact, people are only going 110, 120, but nothing over?
I don't see that being a real possibility, knowing that it would take a lot of resources, a lot more cruisers, a lot more uniformed staff. So I see, you know, the status quo continuing. Unless you're being an idiot, weaving in and out of traffic, doing dangerous moves, and you know, completing unsafe passing maneuvers, if you're doing 120 today on a 100 kilometer an hour speed limit highway, they're going to leave you alone.
What do you think the appetite is for this in Ontario? What's your sense? Because you write about this all the time. You're a regular columnist at driving.ca. Can you do a temperature check on Ontario drivers?
I don't really think, I don't see where there was a big demand for it. I don't hear people, you know, complaining about, you know, limited speeds on highways. Because, face it, we're in a large jurisdiction. If you compare us to what's happening in the U.S., what's happening in other provinces, we're not much different. And we're used to it. And I think with, and I see this every day, when gas prices take a jump, we start getting vehicles in my repair shop with symptoms related to people driving them too easy, babying them, watching, you know, their speed, maybe reducing the amount of time they take it out in the first place. So, you know, the contributing factor to a lot of people when they look at their speed, number one, of course, is, you know, their schedule, where they have to be and how important it is to be there on time. But they also look at how much fuel they're burning.
I think that people drive according not only to the weather conditions, but according to the road. So if the road is not slippery and the traction is good and the visibility is clear and your brakes are in good working order and you're on a straight shot of road and it's a sunny day, then you're probably going a little bit faster because you feel like you can.
Absolutely. And I mean, automotive manufacturers have fine-tuned this to give us products now that even with modest engines have the availability and the capability of driving safely. We've got a lot more safety mechanisms and collision avoidance systems in our vehicle. Does that make us better drivers? Well, we are seeing reduction in collisions and reductions in injuries. My big fear is the more technology you put in a car, the less you require a driver to be as attentive and as good at their job as they were 20 years ago.
Great to hear from you on this today. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Safe driving, everyone.
There's Brian Turner, who's a regular columnist at driving.ca. He doesn't think that there was an appetite for this. I disagree. Respectfully, I think that a lot of people just see this as common sense, like I do. But you go faster, you waste more gas. I think, though, a lot of people support the increase in speeding on highways or going a higher posted speed, at least legally, because they see that the majority of drivers are already going there. A couple more text messages that have rolled in. Gary from Canada said, if we're so concerned about it, why do we sell cars that are capable of going over 120 kilometers an hour? Another texter, I go the speed limit and I'm passed 9 times out of 10 by drivers that speed past me. One more here from Val Stewart in Barrhaven. Christy, what about drivers who speed in 40, 50, or 60 zones? This is where the speeders need to be pulled over. Increasing speed limits on a few 400 series highways only decreases the amount of drivers paying for speeding in excess of speeding limits. So, you know, I tend to agree with Val there. I speed on the highway within reason in good weather conditions when I'm not putting anybody in danger. I do. I'll admit it. I speed on the highway. I think most people do. I never, ever speed in a residential neighborhood. Not in a school zone, not when I'm going through my neighborhood or somebody else's neighborhood, especially when there are no sidewalks, because the pedestrians and the kids and the dogs have nowhere to go.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I was reading this story about a Toronto couple that is lucky to be alive after their tour boat sank in the Dominican Republic. And I'll tell you, I was reflecting back on some of my travel journeys, and I was thinking in particular about a boat ride that I took in Cartagena, Colombia, and how things could have turned out like this. Because you read about these boats online, you do your research, and then you show up to the beach and you climb aboard a boat in a different country. And it's much cheaper than here in Canada, but the ride is often memorable. And you've got these tiny little boats that are cresting huge waves. And that's what happened to us when we were in Colombia. I was sitting aboard a boat and I knew that it was going to be rough because they don't even come back to shore. They don't even take you back to your hotel and where you came from in the afternoon later than 2:30 or 3 p.m. because beyond that, it gets too rough. And my partner and I went on one of these boat trips and we're okay and we're still in one piece today. But it was memorable, I'll tell you that. In fact, at one point, there was a family that was on the boat with a dog and a cat. They were going to one of the islands and they were staying overnight at a hotel. And the cat was in the cat carrier and the cat was really noisy. Every time we'd go over a wave, you could hear it meow. And it was bouncing around. And then it got really quiet in the middle of the trip. It was okay. I did check to see that it was alive. I was curious because it got so silent. And then there was this little white dog, one of those cute little fluffy white dogs with a sweet little face, lovely little eyes. And it was bouncing around so violently that at one point, the woman who was holding on to the dog was no longer holding on to the dog. And the dog was up in the air, and I actually lunged for it and caught it. Now, I don't know how close it was to going overboard, but it was too close for comfort for me witnessing this. I had one hand on the side of the boat, one hand on my fiance. We're getting jostled around. It was insane. It was insane. My tailbone almost felt bruised after because we were going over such intense waves. And then I see a story like this about a tour boat that is sinking in the Dominican Republic. And you think you're, you know, smart when you go on vacation. You think about all the research you do and you realize it probably doesn't matter. Brock McKenzie and his partner were enjoying a tour that doesn't sound as wild as the one that I was on. But they noticed that something was going wrong and they noticed that water was seeping into their boat. So he pulls out a camera to document it as it's happening.
So we are definitely sinking. The water is now about 2 feet deep on the port side of the boat.
They were about 25 minutes from shore when the leak started. There were about 30 people on board.
It started way out into the middle of Samana Bay. Started listing. We took on water. The safety boat came up to make sure that once we got in the water, we would be rescued.
He says most of the passengers weren't wearing life jackets and crew members handed out rum as the boat took on water. Hello, where are the safety drills? Non-existent, I guess. Eventually, they were brought to a nearby island.
Here's Carrie and I walking down this beautiful Caribbean sand beach to check out our boat that they seem to have drugged ashore. So this is the result of our wonderful trip. Nobody was injured. Everybody just had some lunch.
In the video footage, you can see the boat almost halfway underwater, a couple meters off the shoreline, and people's things floating away.
There's our cruise boat. Everybody is safe and sound. It was quite the adventure getting in there. This is all the people's stuff floating away. We were lucky enough to get out with ours.
The tour boat operator, Grupo Pinero, says the leak was caused by a floating log that struck the side of the boat on the starboard side and caused the problem. The company says that the captain followed all safety protocols. I wonder where in the safety manual it says to start handing out rum. I mean, I suppose it can't hurt, but it doesn't sound like they did all of the other important things. McKenzie says the company then asked the passengers to sign legal documents when they got to shore. I would not be signing that. No way. It asked the passengers to agree that the leak was a minor inconvenience. Kelsapries, nobody signed it. McKenzie says he's actually considering reaching out to a lawyer because he's concerned the tour bus or the tour boat company won't make any changes. And they've called this one of the most single, terrifying things that they have ever experienced. Well, thankfully, they're alive to tell the tale, and they're not out there on the high seas still stranded. But this is the thing. You read online that you can get boats. You persuade your family to go. You get on one, and everything seems pretty relaxed until it's not. And Danny, I think back to my experience. It was rough out there. What would have happened if I had been tossed out into the sea?
I don't know. I was in the same kind of position at one point when I visited the Bahamas. I was at Newport in the Bahamas, so the lesser visited island city. But I was there with a friend. And yeah, our boat was on choppy waters too. And it was a bit of an iffy boat. And the waters were choppy. We were going back and forth. Water was coming in. I was holding on for dear life on those sides. And you know what? If I would have fallen into that water, I know I would have been with black tip sharks. And you know what? I'm fine with sharks. We swam with them later. But yeah, it's scary.
Never go out on a small, ill-equipped boat. Our boat had safety jackets, life jackets. They made us put them on. And they did give us a safety rundown. So I think they were pretty good about it. But it was just the nature of the water that day. That it was so choppy. And from my understanding, a lot of people that go out on that journey have been through something similar. It's okay, folks, though. The white dog was fine.
Oh, that's good.
I'll post a photo of the white dog so people know that I'm not lying about this story.
But that water out in the ocean, you don't realize how powerful it is until you're hit with it, because sometimes it looks so calm. But you go out into the ocean, you're like, whoa.
Don't shrug it off.
No.
Do not shrug it off. 2:56 on the show. Thank you for listening. This is Ottawa Now on News Talk 580 CFRA. Just a quick note for you. You can download the iHeartRadio app, and that's a really easy way to listen to us seamlessly. You can stream us when you get out of your car. You can put us in your headphones or on speakerphone. if you want to be that person on the LRT. Your choice, not mine. It's the iHeartRadio app, and then you can keep us with you all day long. We're about 4 minutes away from your newscast. We've got a look at time saver traffic and weather. That's all coming up.